This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Later in the show, we'll examine the Great Resignation. But first, Kate Schroeder takes the helm as the new president and CEO of Interact for Health. Schroeder comes from the Health Collaborative, where she worked to increase COVID-19 vaccinations throughout 14 counties in Greater Cincinnati. She also ran for Congress in the 1st Congressional District against Representative Steve Chabot. Now she's focused on making her greatest impact in public health. Kate Schroeder joins Cincinnati Edition to discuss her new role leading Interact for Health through the pandemic. Welcome, Kate.
Welcome. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great. If you have questions, you can join our conversation by calling 513-419-7100, emailing talk@wvxu.org, or send us a tweet. So, Kate, do you mind if we start? You are following in the footsteps of Dr. Odell Owens, who people all across the region know because of the many, many different hats he has worn in this community in terms of leadership roles. Can you tell us all a little bit more about yourself for folks out there who might not be as familiar with you?
For sure. So I grew up here in Cincinnati. My family's actually been here for five generations. Grew up in Pleasant Ridge, and I went away to college at Indiana University. And my family was all in healthcare. My mom's a nurse, my dad is a physician, and I've always been a systems person myself, Lucy, and interested in solving problems sort of at that macro systems level. And I thought growing up that I wanted to go into politics and policy. So my first job out of college was actually working in Capitol Hill for the senator from Indiana. And I spent 3 years in politics and thought, oh my goodness, it takes an awful long time to get things done. So I wanted to flip between the public and private sector. I went and got my MBA at University of Pennsylvania and then spent 3 years working with hospitals on best practice research and consulting. And as life happens, I was actually recruited to the Clinton Health Access Initiative, an organization that was working internationally to reduce deaths in low-income countries. And I was hired to move to Zambia when I was 29 years old. I moved to Zambia to open the office there for the Clinton Health Access Initiative. And I stayed in global health for 12 years, really used my skills in business and health to help solve public health challenges around, you know, preventing deaths that are preventable, reducing preventable deaths, primarily in children. So I spent 2 years living in Africa and another 10 years managing programs across Africa and Asia in pediatric health. And then it took a little bit of a turn in 2019 when I stepped down from my role in global health to come back home. I moved back to Cincinnati 8 years ago, almost nine now, and have always been called by service and where I can have an impact, and have been, you know, worried about the direction of our country and feel like we need more people in politics that are there just to do the right thing, to help serve our community, not make it about your career, but make it about what's best for our community. And I ran for Congress in 2020 in the first district, was very motivated by that and loved it. I loved engaging. I love this community in Greater Cincinnati, and I think we need more people to serve. And so it was disappointing when I lost, but other opportunities opened up and worked to at the Health Collaborative to help coordinate our regional response in the vaccine rollout across hospitals and pharmacies.
That's great.
And did that for a year and now starting here at Interact.
That's fantastic. And I'm sorry to interrupt. Tell me, you mentioned your run for Congress. What do you feel like you learned from that campaign or during the campaign that really informs the work that you did at the Health Collaborative and the work that you will be doing at Interact for Health?
I mean, one of the amazing things that you opportunities when you run for office is really engaging with all parts of our community. And I think what I saw was that there are many truths. There are many different realities within this same community. And I knew from a macro level that depending on what zip code you are born in this community, average lifespan can be up to 20 years different, which is just incredible. You know, the difference between being born in Indian Hill versus Price Hill. And these are realities that we live with. And when I ran for office, you know, I rolled up my sleeves and spent a lot of time in these communities and see the challenges on the ground firsthand and what that looks like. for individuals, for families. And it's all been exacerbated in this pandemic that we're experiencing now of collective suffering that we're all going through. And so it is that, it's that calling that, you know, seeing people's lives, seeing that we need leaders at all levels in this community who understand that there are real gaps in access and opportunity in this community. And that is something that's always stuck with me.
Yeah. And so first I'm going to ask you if we could, this is a little bit of a reverse, but do you mind telling us a little bit more about what Interact for Health is and what it does? I think there are still a lot of people in our community who don't really understand the organization and its important role. And then maybe talk a little bit about what drew you to the work there.
Yeah, so Interact for Health has been around since 1997. It was formed, actually, it was a physician-owned HMO that was sold to Humana, and the proceeds from that, it was about $250 million, became an endowment that is an amazing resource to this community. So Interact invests, does grants and learning and education to community organizations here that help to improve health outcomes in the 20-county Greater Cincinnati region. So that's Southeast Indiana, Southwest Ohio, and Northern Kentucky. And there's about $7 million in grants that are given out each year to community organizations to improve health outcomes. For the past 5 years, the three areas of focus have been in reducing tobacco use and addressing the opioid epidemic and expanding access to healthcare through school-based health centers. So those have really been the focus of the work to date, though I will say one of our priorities for this year is embarking on our next five-year strategic plan that I'm really excited about.
Right. And what I know that when you worked at the Health Collaborative, you were very involved in trying to increase vaccinations and the vaccination rate in the region. What did you learn from that that you feel like you can bring to your work now? And what, if any, role will the Interact for Health have when it comes to the pandemic?
I mean, we've learned so much. I think we've all learned so much in the vaccine rollout here. So I joined Health Collaborative last January, right before the vaccines became available, and was helping to, again, coordinate across health departments, hospitals, pharmacies in this region. And I think we learned a lot. I mean, one of the challenges, it was very, the challenges that we experienced at the beginning were very different than the challenges we experienced 6 months in and then 12 months in. So at the beginning, one of the biggest challenges was, of course, we didn't have enough vaccines and the demand way exceeded supply, and that some of our minority communities, our lower income communities really struggled with access. They did not get equal access to the vaccine in the way some others did. And so that, you know, is a lesson that we need to think about in any scarce resources in this community. How do we manage that? How do we ensure equal access and opportunity, especially to those that are more marginalized? And I think the other lesson is just the flexibility to constantly be listening and responding to what the needs are. We had a lot of hesitancy after we got that through that initial demand. There's a lot of hesitancy due to historic trust issues. And one of the things we learned there is, in terms of addressing hesitancy, it's not always about talking at someone or this top-down approach. It's about listening. That listening is as important, if not more important, than educate, you know, sort of top-down talking at someone. And so I think those are lessons that underpin all of our work in this community as we try to address health access and equity, to really listen to those with the lived experience, that they are the ones that know what challenges they're facing each day. And as community leaders, we all have a responsibility. If we want to solve these problems, we need to engage those with the lived experiences to understand and solve the problems in a way that will be lasting and authentic and impactful.
Mm-hmm. And I know Interact for Health has such a history of survey work and doing that research and getting that grassroots information in the community. Is there anything you learned from the pandemic that you think will change that approach or kind of the way you go about it to get that information and figure out, you know, what people need to make the changes that they need to make to be healthier?
Yeah, the survey work is interesting because we are blessed in this community. We are lucky. We do have a lot of resources, and Interact has done the community health status survey every few years for for over a decade now. One of the things that just came out that some of your listeners may know about is the Community Health Needs Assessment. This is something that was just released a couple weeks ago. And this is something that all health departments and hospitals are required to do to be accredited and certified. And yet it's often been an isolated exercise where each one does their own. And one of the amazing things about this region is that we have come together across 38 hospitals and 23 health departments to do a unified community health needs assessment and set sort of a short agenda for what are those greatest needs in our community across this region. Rather than having, you know, 30 plus documents, we have one document. 10,000 people in this community participated, over 900 clinicians. And I think it actually is one of the biggest in the country. So I'm really excited about that. I think it provides us a platform as a region to really align our efforts and our resources to address some of the top challenges coming out of that, which were some of the main challenges, not surprisingly, were really around health equity and particularly around addressing some of our top health-related needs in cardiac and mental health, maternal outcomes. Another big finding was on our workforce, and it's been exacerbated in the pandemic, the need to grow the pipeline and the diversity of our health workforce so that it's more representative. And then also addressing some of those health-related social needs like housing and transportation and food came out strongly as well.
Yeah. And so many of those are those big picture issues that are have become problems over many years and will take some time to solve. Right now, it sounds like everybody's juggling that at the same time they're trying to deal with COVID, which is still in our faces. We've got these surging COVID cases in the region. As the leader of Interact for Health, what do you think about the responses that our local leaders have provided to our most recent challenges in the pandemic?
I mean, I think everyone, every individual, every family, our health workers and our leaders, they're folks are doing their best. I mean, we are weary. You know, we are about to start the third year of this, and it is, you know, we've had one of the worst weeks. We're losing over 2,000 people a day in our country still. I mean, it's hard to even get our minds around what this kind of suffering is like. And so I think we need to start by giving ourselves a little bit of grace and to use this as an opportunity. I mean, we learn from our past, but I don't think we should be held back by it. We need to be pulled by the future. And really, COVID has been just an unbelievable amount of suffering and strain for everyone, and especially for our health leaders and our health workers on the front lines. But it also presents an opportunity where we can come together. And Cincinnati is amazing, has one of the best levels of collaboration across our hospitals. When I talk to folks in other parts of the country, they can't believe our CEOs in this region and our hospitals get on the phone multiple times a week and are talking about how to share capacity across hospitals so that when one hospital is at capacity and is limited in taking more emergency room patients, another hospital can step up. And they've done that in so many ways. And I had a chance to be part of those calls. And that level of collaboration for hospitals and health systems that typically compete is not common. And so that is a platform that we can continue. And I believe Mayor Puerval is also, you know, really working with the hospitals now as well. And this is just an opportunity as and when this pandemic winds down, and it will, even though it feels like it's not going to, we can build off this collaboration to really, to build stronger, to address some of these longstanding challenges we've had and use the cooperation that's come up through the pandemic to do that.
Yeah. So you talked when we first started the interview about these top priorities that have been so important to Interact for Health for years now. What are your big goals for the in organization, and have you kind of figured out what your top priorities are yet?
Well, one of my priorities for this year will certainly be listening as we embark on the strategic plan. But I think more broadly, now that we have this community health needs assessment that came out with 10,000 participants as a region, I think my goal is with Interact and with our community to help set this common health agenda. I find it interesting. You know, we have some of the best health hospitals and health systems in the country in this region. We have tremendous resources. And yet we can't really answer the question, are we healthier here in the Cincinnati area than we were 10 years ago? you know, we don't have this, there's a lot of fragmentation that is going on in our health sector here. And so I want to help bring that together around a common health agenda, around a short list of top priorities, particularly around reducing some of the disparities that I mentioned earlier, you know, having these huge gaps in lifespan depending on which zip code you're born in, and the, you know, in many, and that ties to race as well. And so really bringing our community together to address some of these top health priorities and aligning our resources around it and putting out a report once a year, hold ourselves accountable. Here is our progress against these top health priorities, and put it out year after year so that we are showing concrete metrics against what we're trying to accomplish, and that we can answer that question, and that we move in that positive direction of really improving the health in this region.
Yeah. Well, and you've mentioned those disparities a couple times. Health equity seems to be a focus that's really you've followed throughout so much of your career. How much of a spotlight do you think the pandemic has put on those disparities and that lack of equity in terms of healthcare services and delivery?
I mean, it's really laid it bare. It's made it really clear to folks, I think, that we don't have the same access. I mean, what has always motivated me in my core is preventable deaths, right? These are, we don't have equal access in this community, and that's a challenge. And it's and as somebody who has, you know, I mentioned earlier my work in Africa, you know, I have been in situations where you watched a child be brought in, they're very sick with pneumonia in a hospital, and they had the access to the antibiotics that the child needs, but they don't have the oxygen to keep the child alive, and it's not available in this place. And the child didn't survive because of this. And it's, I mean, most of us, that's an image that never leaves you when you see someone die of a preventable cause. And that is happening all the time, in not in such a stark, obvious way to people, but it exists because of the lack of access and the way our systems and structures are, where people don't have the same access to healthy food, to transportation, to mental health services, to not have doctors and nurses that look like them. It makes a difference in the quality of care. And so these are systemic issues, but they're solvable. You know, there are communities have made progress on them, and we can make progress here too. And I think COVID has given us an opportunity not just to lay some of these challenges bare before us, but also to bring together the collaboration to really work on them together, not as, you know, 20 different organizations, but as one collective group that we all are motivated to work together as a community. And we have the resources and we have the leadership. It's so many, both from our elected officials, with our public health departments, and in our health systems.
Well, and with these system problems, as you referenced to them, how long will it take, do you think, to move the needle on some of these things? And how does that play into your goals for Interact for Health over the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think you have to be realistic about what are short-term improvements and what's long-term. I mean, one area where I think we have a good example where we've made progress is around, you know, there's been longstanding gaps in infant mortality between Black babies and white babies in this community. And that's been over, you know, 10 years now through Cradle Cincinnati and so many partners, Children's and others, working to address that, but we have made meaningful progress. So I think it's the same thing when we're trying to address health equity more broadly. We can set some longer term goals that will take 10 years to make a difference. But in the short term, you can think about things when we think about improving the diversity of our workforce. Like, let's expand class sizes and look at the recruitment and the makeup of our class sizes. And what can we be doing to strengthen that in the shorter term that will lead to longer term improvements? And the same around mental health, around some of these issues that are will make a difference in those longer term metrics around equity.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's been terrific talking with you. I wish we had another 15 or 20 minutes because there's so much to talk about. My guest today was Interact for Health President and CEO Kate Schroeder. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for this show is Selena Reeder. The assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Lucy May.